Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. Today is August the 15th, and I can't believe we're halfway through August. School just started here in this part of the country, in Florida, so a lot of people don't go back, I don't think, until after Labor Day. At least that's the way I remember it, but not down here. Down here we go early and we get out early. So I have as my returning guest, Paul Levin. And as you may recall, Paul is an author, speaker, and emotional breakthrough mentor. He's also a certified hypnotherapist and a certified NLP practitioner, and that's neuro-linguistic programming for those who don't know what those initials stand for. But he specializes in belief systems, and that's what we're actually going to talk about today, is relationship beliefs. So welcome back, Paul. And you and I were talking before the show started about what you've been up to, and I wanted you to share your trip to Texas.
Sure. Texas was awesome. I'll throw in just 30 seconds here. I think the last time I was here, I was heading to Vegas.
You were.
So just real quick, Vegas was also awesome. I spent 4 days listening and learning from a man named Marshall Silver, who is an amazing hypnotist and phenomenal at influence and persuasion. And came home from that, and that was just amazing. Another sequence of events, and that led me to go to Texas.
Okay.
So Texas was mind-blowing.
So tell me the name of the conference again so everyone knows.
Sure. The event was called CEO, like the head of a company, a CEO space. Mm-hmm. So a space filled with CEOs. And that's pretty much what it was. Everyone there is an entrepreneur of some sort. There are people who are just getting started. Maybe they don't even have an idea, but they have an entrepreneurial spirit. They know they want to start a business, but they don't know what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people there with established businesses. There are people there who are raising money. There are people there, say, the $100,000, you know, a year revenue business, right? There's also people in the room who are at the $1 million level, the multi-million dollar, there's billionaires in the room with you. Now, maybe the person who's just getting started won't even understand what the billionaire is saying.
Right.
Because I'll tell you, I met with the man who started it, Bernie Dorman.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, everything he said just went way over my head. All right? But there was so many people in the room at every level there to serve. Everyone is there to serve whoever and whomever you can serve.
Uh-huh.
So I helped a lot of people with what was going on in their lives, with some of the stresses of the event itself. I got to help some of the kids who were there. And that's mind-blowing.
Why don't you, share
talk
a
about
little
the kids.
Bit. Right, talk about some of the kids that were there.
It was probably the biggest thing for me was the kids. A six-year-old who probably was, you know, I don't know, probably raked in a couple hundred bucks over the week doing massages for, I think it was $15 an hour or something like that, or, you know, right?
And it's a he or a she?
It was a he. Gabriel, little boy, six
okay.
years old.
All right, and he wants to have his own massage business someday?
Well, he has his own massage business right now.
Okay.
All right? I don't think I asked him what he wants to do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really cool is he's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he acts like a kid, but he also acts way beyond being a kid. You know, I mean, I've watched him playing with Play-Doh with his mother, and then 5 minutes later, he's talking about his business and how much money he's making and how many customers he's helped and like that.
Okay.
So it's like, this is a six-year-old, you know, it's amazing. a young lady, Neva is her name, 9 years old. As I understand it, she has 7 businesses, and her latest book, and I apologize, I don't remember the full title, and I can get that all. So contact me and I can get you the title, I can get you her full name, things like that. But her latest book just hit bestseller in category, best in category, which was a children's book.
Children's books, right.
Yeah. What else? Let's see. 14-year-old. First of all, he's taller than I am. He's almost a foot taller than I am at 14. And his father deals with pain and removing physical pain out of the body. And I deal with that a little bit as well. And, you know, there's always the saying, doctor, heal thyself, right?
Mm, right.
So I experience quite a bit of pain, or have done that, especially sitting in conferences. Because mm-hmm. you're sitting in a chair, your neck is usually looking up a little bit at the person who's up on stage.
Right.
Right?
Or you're looking down writing.
Or you're looking down writing, and you're not moving for hours.
Right.
Right? And this would cause me a lot of pain. And I mentioned it to Sean, because Sean and I have spent hours talking together, and I just love the kid. And he's like, well, I know why you have that pain. And I look at him like, oh, yeah? And he goes, well, it has to do with how you hold your neck. And he just basically presses his hand on the back of my neck. And he's like, you see, this is the problem right here. Why don't you just, and he takes his hand and he pushes my head back. And he's just, why don't you just, if you could just hold your head like that, well, then all the pain would be gone. Do you realize for the next 5 days I had no more pain in my neck?
So he did have the right suggestion.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
14-year-old kid that I just love him.
Yeah.
There were just some, there was a 20-year-old there. Mm-hmm. She wants to be a makeup artist for the movies.
Wow.
For Hollywood. And so she took one of the faculty, one of the millionaires, all right, who was teaching, who volunteered to be made up like a vampire. I'll tell you what, the process of doing that, it took hours. She was on it for 4 hours.
Right. They work, like, and from everything that I've ever heard, they can be in makeup for a short scene.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
Yeah, and but they can be in that chair for 6 to 8 hours if the makeup is that extensive.
Yeah, but by the 30-minute mark, it was peeling off his face.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like, you know, 4 hours of makeup, shoot the scene,
uh-huh.
and it's over.
Right.
You know? Got to do it again.
And you've got to do it again. So The Walking Dead, all those kind of shows that we've watched, I mean, those people are in a chair for a heck of a long time.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you and I mentioned, again, before the show actually started, was the fact that when you look at a person's belief and you go to a conference like this, how many times your belief system gets tweaked. I mean, it may not be radically changed, but you'll learn one thing, like how to hold your neck. Or you'll learn something about, you know, massage from, you know, a 6-year-old that you might not have thought about. So can you talk about that just a little bit
before
we get into the actual today's program?
Yes, yes. I'm going to give you this story here because it demonstrates how much of an emotional high I was on when I got back from the event. All right?
And that was 10 days, right?
I was away from home for 10 days, including travel.
Okay.
Including travel. So we left Vegas, let's see, probably, we left the hotel around 4 in the afternoon, drove to the airport, it was a group of us, two guys and I, we had dinner together, and then we had to head our separate ways. So it's now 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. My flight lands in Tampa. There is an hour time difference, but
is this the one from Texas that we're talking about?
Texas coming back to Tampa.
Okay, you mentioned Las Vegas, so that
okay. We're coming back from Vegas from Texas.
Texas, okay.
Coming back from Texas.
Okay,
my plane lands at 12:30 at night. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I've been traveling for 6.5 hours. Right, I land at 12:30 at night. The shuttle, all of that. I get my car. I'm home. It's now 1:30 a.m. I'm still up at 4.
Thinking about everything?
Okay, I'm just... The event has just got racing in my head. The possibility of trying to go to sleep was irrelevant. It just... Okay? I was just so excited. And one of the key takeaways... It was during that time that I got to really find the key takeaway for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the key takeaway was so many people believed in you.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter who you were. It was every single person in the room. There was a whole bunch of other people there believing in you, believing in your capabilities, believing in what you can accomplish.
Right.
Okay? Nobody, not even the billionaires, held themselves as higher than anybody else in the room.
Yeah, which is really, really cool.
Right.
Because, again, this was something that we just touched on a little bit before the show, but I think, you know, the fact that from the time you get into preschool, VPK, you know, you want to belong, you know,
yes,
to a group. Mm-hmm. You know, you may not be the top dog, but you want to belong. And so people feeling like they are accepted where they are, that somebody believes in them, somebody is including them as opposed to excluding them and saying, well, you just don't measure up yet. I mean, that
yeah,
is
they didn't
such,
do that at all.
Yeah, that is a world
sure.
of difference.
The change that can occur, that did occur for me,
mm-hmm.
is to walk out of there knowing, well, if I am accepted as an equal by millionaires, even by the billionaires,
mm-hmm.
well, what does that say about my what I can do?
Your potential.
Really, if they accept uh-huh. me already, now all I have to do is just have
go
the money
it.
Show up.
Yeah, just go do it.
Really, just create the money so I can, you know, hang out at the country club with them some more.
Exactly.
You know?
And they basically let you believe, you know, as long as you accept the belief, I'm there. I'm already there.
We were.
And now I just have to show up.
That's right.
So.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that is so cool. I know, having owned my own company in the past, one of the things that I don't think that I ever totally maybe got over, because I would go to a lot of functions, you know, that were Chamber of Commerce kind of things, and I was equally, maybe even more successful than a lot of the people there. But there was always that little girl inside of me that kind of looked around and was like, well, I don't know. And so this was something that you experienced that said, yes, you know, you are equally talented and welcome on board.
Yeah,
so
totally.
It was that kind of a feeling.
Totally. I'll tell you what, now that we talked about that little girl,
yeah,
that sounds like an excellent place to segue into relationships.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Okay, because that's where everything that will affect every single relationship you will have for the rest of your life
mm-hmm.
began when you were a little girl.
Right.
Right? What you saw in relationships from your parents, from relatives, from friends' parents, whatnot,
mm-hmm.
the things you learned on television and the things on radio,
mm-hmm.
the things you learned from your parents and from religious organizations and whatnot, create beliefs that, in some cases, might be getting you every relationship you want, or might be standing in the way and blocking you from having the relationships you want.
Right, right.
Right? When I talk about relationships, I like to begin with an assignment.
Okay.
All right? So if you're listening out there, you have an assignment already. There's already homework. and it will be graded by you. And that is to make some lists.
Mm-hmm.
Before you date anybody, before you even respond to a request to go out on a date, take a moment, think about what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So the first list is, what do you want in a relationship? And frankly, you can take this process and apply it to every relationship. Work relationships, friend relationships. Right now, we'll focus on romantic relationships.
Okay.
Make a list of what you want.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Please.
As a therapist, one of the things that I had people do, and it sounds like the same thing, is because I've done it even recently with a few private clients that I still see, and I had them do the same thing, you know, because they knew what they didn't want, and yet they kept attracting more of that.
Precisely.
So I said, well, do you actually know what you do want? You know, it's going to be the opposite of what you've been getting. And so, you know, they would come up with, you know, like maybe 40 or 50. And then what I had them do is, once they created that list, I said, now, see it as the universe is going to give you exactly what you've asked for.
Sure.
So fold it up, put it in a special place, and know that it is coming. But throughout every single day, just be thankful, show gratitude that you know that the universe is bringing this person to you. So is that similar to
That's a part of it. That's definitely a part of it. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
So let's talk about your list of what you might have looked for or what you hear people saying they want.
Well, let me take a moment because there's two more lists.
Okay.
Okay, and they're equally important.
Okay.
Okay. The want list, I actually divide into two.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's must-haves.
Mm-hmm.
He must XYZ.
Or she must.
Or she must, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I generally focus on working with women, so that's why I always go there. But okay, so they must. And then there's nice to haves.
Right.
All right? And so, and it doesn't matter, you know, which list is bigger. It doesn't matter how many things you have on your list. But come up with those things that are absolutely showstoppers that if they don't, you know, this is a must have, right?
Right. So now, for a lot of people in today's world with health, and you're health conscious and I am, somebody who smoked would be, right, they wouldn't make it.
Right. So actually, a must-have for me, for example, would be intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to carry on an intellectual conversation, because I am. And that would be no fun for me. Right. Now, the other thing is they'd also have to be fun.
Right.
They have to like fun activities and mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the third list. So we've got must-haves, like-to-haves, and then absolute showstoppers.
Right.
If they smoke cigarettes, that's a showstopper for me.
Right.
All right, because I'm an ex-smoker. All right? So like, just would not work for me to be around cigarette smoke all the time.
Right.
Make your list of showstoppers. Now, the reason you want to have that list is it works like this. When the universe comes along and gives you a person that has one of those things, you know, give them a chance. Say, listen, this is a real problem for me. It's on my showstopper list. You know, is that something you'd be willing to give up doing? Now, if they're not willing to give it up, you now have a choice. Mm-hmm. Because it's on your absolutely cannot happen list.
Right.
You must either reevaluate your list and say, no, I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
Or you must end this relationship.
Right.
All right. It's one or the other. And I would encourage you, if it really is a showstopper for you, end the relationship. There'll be another one. All right? There'll be a better one. So yeah, as you go through life, I'll just wrap this piece, mm-hmm. okay? As you go through life, you're now looking for people who have the things on your must-have list
uh-huh.
and have some things on your want list and don't have things that are on the showstopper list.
Right.
And life becomes real easy now. Dating becomes simple.
Has that worked well for you?
It's just made things simpler.
Simpler.
Right? It's now a systematic process. All right? There's no longer emotion. If somebody feeds me, if the universe feeds me a person who does something who's a liar, okay? Habitual liar.
Right.
Right? Well, that's on my showstopper list.
Right.
You know, I'll give them one chance, right? After that, it's like, bye. I'm moving on, you know? With no emotion, with no pain about it, there's no regret, there's no nothing. It's mm-hmm. just, would you like cookies? No, thank you, I'm moving on. You know?
Right, right. That's very true. Wow. All right, so relationships start with those three lists. That's the homework assignment.
That's the homework assignment. Make those lists.
Okay. And once they've made the list, you know, then what?
Well, then like I said, it's real simple. Life is easy. You go through life. You can be passive, which in our society, women tend to be more passive as far as seeking out relationship. They wait for a guy to come to them. But you can be more active, too. You know, there's just because society says you're not supposed to go up to a guy and say he's cute, the heck with that. You do what you want. You see something you want, go get it. Or go pursue it. Find out if it's what you want. You right. obviously need to get more information.
Right. Now, you do a number of meetup groups as a way of networking. And I know that I've been surprised at the number of meetup groups that are in Pinellas County and the variety. You know, I mean, there's people that want to walk and there's people that like to write. There's one that I've been chuckling about because it appears all the time on Facebook, you know, as are you interested? But it's a ukulele group.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm like, no, I don't think I want to learn to play the ukulele. But there's people that are into meditation. You did, I think you headed a meetup group for a while.
I did.
That was in the Law of Attraction.
Happiness,
and
yes.
Just, you know, how to bring that into your life. So for people that are listening and that are saying, all right, I've got my three lists.
Okay.
Now what?
Now what?
They might want to consider looking at local meetup groups.
Definitely.
That have similar ideas, you know, beliefs, maybe enjoyment areas.
And GPS signal lost.
Ooh, so it is. How can you be in two places at once when you're not anywhere at all?
that was a surprise.
And it's on silent. My phone's on silent.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we had one of our spirits join us.
Exactly, exactly.
So
yes,
meetup groups might be an option.
I think the key there, and this was something I had to learn,
mm-hmm.
is go do what you enjoy.
Yeah.
Go have fun. You know, yes, there's a... It's just to find other people who do what you like to do has gotten so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because of meetup groups, because of Facebook events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that doesn't float your boat, then find some other group of people who are doing what it is you like to do.
Right.
If you go out and you make yourself happy, you do the things that are fun for you, mm-hmm. you will find those other people who are doing the same thing.
Right.
And these are the people you're going to have relationships with.
Yeah, I just, I used to love to dance years ago. And there were a lot of things that I used to do a lot of years ago, playing golf competitively and whatnot. So, but I had a friend who suggested that we go to a dance, I think it's called Cabaret Dance Club, and it's actually quite close to where I live. So it was interesting because we took a dance lesson prior to the actual ballroom dancing
mm-hmm.
event.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of individuals that show up for these, and they are down in St. Petersburg. They're up in North Pinellas. So, I mean, it's not just in one location. You
yeah.
can choose the one that's closest to you. And even if you didn't meet, you know, the love of your life there, it would be something enjoyable to do, you know, a couple of times a month that would just maybe take you out of your comfort zone and put you back into something that you once liked to do.
Perfect. So one of the things we could talk about now would be the beliefs that prevent us from having the relationships we want to have.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I specialize in working with women, so I'm going to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Guys have a lot of similar beliefs. They actually have some very specific different ones as well, all right? But women can be closed off simply because of fears that they've learned when they were younger.
Such as,
if, for example, if a girl were to grow up in a family with an abusive father, then men might be looked at as dangerous.
Okay.
Or men, you know, being around men could hurt.
Right, and this would be a person that's never maybe sought any kind of therapy to work through those issues.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Or, yeah. That belief clearly would prevent you from being open to talking to somebody who might come up to you, or vice versa, you want to go up to, right?
Right.
Because
you wouldn't be sure that you would make a good decision.
Yeah, I think the fears are more about what could happen.
Okay. If I open myself up to this person, I'll be taken advantage of?
I could be taken advantage of, I could be embarrassed, I could be hurt.
I could be in danger.
I could be in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's that set of fears, that especially being taken advantage of and danger.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably the two. And then the third one is to be emotionally hurt.
All right, so with that in mind, one of the things that I think I want to bring up at this point is this whole Me Too movement that's been going around.
Okay.
So how many people have climbed on board that bus or that train that maybe didn't have anything that was as awful as the originators of the movement, you know, who had really been
taken... I'm aware of the movement.
The Me Too movement?
Yeah.
Oh, really? This is all the women who are saying that they've been taken advantage of by men.
Oh, okay.
And so they've come forward and accused, you know, people that are CEOs of corporations, you know, out there with the media as a whole, but it's a very big movement across the United States with women. And I'm not saying that as a woman myself that I did not have men from the time I was probably 15 or 16 that were inappropriate with me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't think I would ever join, you know, that kind of movement. Mm-hmm. But it is helping to make a difference with women who were seriously, emotionally, physically, sexually abused. Mm-hmm. Because it's brought the situation up into the light, so to speak. Okay. A lot of times people just hid it away. Mm-hmm. So the same person that you're talking about that theoretically might have had a father or a brother or somebody abuse her mm-hmm. in one way or another, that now is going out to explore relationships, mm-hmm. that belief is probably going to certainly come to the surface.
Absolutely.
And the question I guess I have, and I've done this in a roundabout way, is for those who are aware of the Me Too movement, if they have that as a hidden belief, for lack of a better, because maybe they haven't addressed it.
Right.
So it's there, it's causing them to have unsuccessful relationships, and now they hear about this massive movement throughout the United States of women who are coming forward and saying, I was also abused. Does that help or does that hurt?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm listening to an audiobook right now mm-hmm. that talks about poverty will never be cured by focusing on poverty.
That's true.
Emotional pain will never be cured by focusing on the emotional pain.
Right. And so it's kind of like the movement is addressing it and showing, yes, this has happened, and now we need to begin to do things to prevent it and heal it. And again, you and I kind of were talking before the show ever started with the understanding that I come from a place that says, let's teach somebody how to fish, you know, rather than give them a fish.
Sure.
And so I would hope that some of these movements that are grassroots that are out there are also teaching the self-esteem that a female or a male needs to have in order to stand up to abuse. Because if you just hug somebody and say, I understand, that doesn't really help them prevent it. And in the same way of teaching somebody how to fish, they'll be able to provide food for themselves for the rest of their lives, as opposed to waiting for the next handout.
Absolutely. I'm reminded of two young women that I knew when I was working at Bell Laboratories mm-hmm. way back in the 1970s.
I thought you were going to say 19th century.
But no.
1970. I was going to say, Paul, you're not that old.
Actually, it was probably the early 1980s.
Okay.
And I remember one who talked about how a particular guy had done something terrible to her. Mm-hmm. And she basically took an approach of being a victim, right? And took action as a victim. Mm-hmm. This other girl, who's also a friend of mine, she took the position of, well, it would have never happened to me. And I said, well, why is that? She said, because I would not have allowed it to have occurred.
Right.
And I got that. But look at the differences. One took a position of victim. The other one took a position of being in control.
Right.
Right? Of being in authority.
Right.
And you can take that latter position.
Sure you can.
And that's the way to create the life that you want. Mm-hmm. There's a saying, we teach people how to treat us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know one of the shows that we are going to do down the road here.
Yes,
we discussed this a little bit.
Yes.
But is healthcare today. We can teach our doctors how to treat us.
Oh, absolutely.
By being knowledgeable and, you know, doing our homework and understanding what keeps us healthy and not taking that passive position of waiting until you get sick and then, doctor, please heal me. And that is unfortunately where a lot of people, you know, go. Which will give me a little segue for those listening. Please go to my website, synergyconnectionradio.com, and look at the Boomers Forever Young under services. You can click, there's on the landing page even, you can go in there and see what these products are all about. But they are destined to create a healthy place for you to go, you know, and keep your body in a much better, healthy environment, you know, just by how you feed your body. And unfortunately, in today's world, I mean, even McDonald's is showing calorie count on everything. I think I went in for a smoothie a couple of months ago, and I was glad to see that, you know, they're explaining that this is going to be 1,300 calories for lunch, or this is going to be 1,500, depending on what you choose. But I was recently driving to Orlando, and I stopped at a Wendy's just to get a lemonade and use the restroom. And so when I went in, I was flabbergasted at the amount of calories that people consume. And then wonder why. And these are all pretty healthy people, mm-hmm. you know, weight-wise. They're sitting there with maybe an extra 100 pounds on them, or certainly an extra 50. And they just don't get it. So I'm glad we're going to do that show down the road, because sure. that is a particular belief that I have. It goes back to teaching somebody how to fish. I'm going to show you ways to stay healthy. It's your choice, you know, whether you decide to do it or not, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but I'm going to at least offer that as an opportunity. And so that'll be a future show that we have fun with.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll tell you what, one place we could go now is, since we covered preparing the lists, mm-hmm. and then we covered what to do to find people, mm-hmm. which is basically just go and enjoy life, okay? Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Do things that make you happy.
Exactly.
Now, what happens when you find somebody?
Okay.
And there's a very simple sentence that we talked about before the show.
Yeah.
That I use and I teach people to use to live by.
Okay.
When you live by this sentence, all relationship problems can be avoided before they even occur. And here it is. Speak your truth with compassion, with no expectation. So we'll take a few moments and break that apart, okay?
Okay.
Speak your truth. That one's pretty obvious. And I find that in our society in the current day, and again, focusing on women, it's increasing. Women are now feeling more free to be able to speak their truth, and yet are still severely, by what they're taught, by their own beliefs, they feel they're not allowed to speak their truth.
Can you give an example of that so that somebody listening, you know, will understand what you're talking about?
Oh, just consider you're on a first date and he says, we're going for Chinese. Or do you want to go for Chinese? And you say yes, when in reality you hate Chinese.
Okay.
So you're going to sit there the entire meal eating the egg foo young or whatever it is, not enjoying it and having a terrible date because you didn't say that you really hate Chinese.
So a better way to approach that might be,
I don't like Chinese. How do you feel about Indian? How do you feel about burgers, pizza? He just
Something
wants to be
that,
with you, so
right,
what the heck? You know,
right.
It doesn't matter what the food is to
right,
him.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So speak your truth.
Okay.
You know? Maybe he wants to do something with you and you're not ready. Speak your truth. Maybe you want to do something, he's not ready. Speak your truth.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. Just speak your truth.
So the things that are important to you need to be brought up.
Yeah. Whatever's going on in your head. There's mm-hmm. I once heard an amazing speaker from stage, and something he said was, he has no internal voice.
Hmm.
And I didn't quite get it at the time, and I thought about it for months and months, and I finally understood it, that every thought in his head he puts on loudspeaker.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Do that. When you do that, your life becomes so much freer.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't give a heck what other people think about you,
mm-hmm.
and you just put every thought out there in a loudspeaker, you'll be amazed how many thoughts actually come true for you.
Again, an example.
To make it simple. All right. Let's to make it simple. We'll go back to the restaurant thing. You know, if you say you don't like Chinese but you like pizza, well then you know very well you're probably going to get pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I don't know.
Maybe you aren't sure that your chemistry is all that good, and let's say that the guy, you know, being a female, is making some moves toward you that would imply that he has those kinds of interest. I think if you're the female, you can say, I'm not sure that I'm ready for that yet.
Absolutely. Speak, you know, yeah, whatever the thought is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I do realize that the female mind usually thinks in emotions first. You experience an emotion,
mm-hmm.
then you have the words to go with it.
Right.
So there is that extra step, which may make it a little more complicated. And to go to the point, the last point you had on this piece of paper here, is that gets to communication now.
It does.
He can't read your mind and he doesn't know your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
As he gets to know you better, he might be able to read your body language, which is where feelings show up.
Right.
All right. Until then, you got to communicate.
Right.
And that's right back to speaking your truth.
Right. And that's using your voice.
Right. That's words. Or you know what? Actions mm-hmm. is a communication as well. You know, if he reaches for something and you don't want him to, smack his hand. Or just take his hand and, you know, no. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Okay. It's just back to speak your truth. It's right. Speak what's real for you. Don't hide it. Don't. I heard of a story once of a young woman. I think I read this somewhere. For 25 years, she went out with men and dated them and lived with them. Okay, different men, okay, over time. But in every case, the story was, she wrote this story, it's coming all coming back to me now, how every one of these guys had a particular way he liked his eggs.
Hmm.
And for every guy, she adopted whatever he liked.
As her way?
As her way. And she wrote the story that now that she's single right now and you know, with nobody and hasn't been with anybody for over a year, she discovered that she didn't like any of those eggs.
She maybe didn't like eggs, period.
Well, she did, but there was a whole different way that she liked.
Oh, okay.
That she never asserted for all of those years.
Interesting.
Because she was just mirroring him. That's a great way to build rapport, but you lose yourself if you do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, the second part, because we really should move on to the second part, is...
we got plenty of time.
The second part is with compassion.
Okay.
And with compassion says, or it's based in the premise, that you don't know what the other person has gone through in their life. Mm-hmm. Even if it's your sister and you're the older one, you have not been there every minute of every day, you know, every day of their life.
Right.
So you don't know everything they've been through. You don't know their pains. Mm-hmm. You don't know their traumas. Which is why you want to express your truth in a way that you would want to hear it from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not like taking a fork and stabbing their hand because they reach for your leg.
Right.
Okay, it's just smacking it lightly and saying, you know, that's a problem for me right now. Okay? So just it always have compassion in mm-hmm. the way you speak your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big one, the hard one, is without expectation. Just because you said no doesn't mean he's not going to do it again. All right? And then you have to evaluate, well, how important is this to you? Do you want to stick with the no, or now it is acceptable for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if it becomes a big enough issue, you end the relationship.
Right.
That's always an acceptable option. Please do not stay. This was one of your other points here on this piece of paper about people staying in toxic or abusive relationships. That's why you have you've got a showstopper list.
Mm-hmm.
Because when that shows up, something on that list shows up, please, you better put on the showstopper list, you know, any physical abuse, physical being hurt, intentional hurting of you, right? If they did something like with vindictiveness, right? That should be on your showstopper list.
Right. And I think a lot of women that I have worked with, and some men actually, because there are just as, I think probably almost as many women who are abusive as men. But for a lot of women, speaking from that position, you keep giving your children second, third, fourth, fifth opportunities because they're your child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have discussions about this is important and this is something that I, you know, need from you. And the child is always going, yes, yes, I'll do that, you know. And then they maybe have the same infraction again, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of women have that maternal instinct where when you're in a relationship, you keep giving chances. And I'm sure you've worked with abuse or women that have been abused. I have. And I'm always amazed at why didn't you leave any sooner? You know, how did you stay that long? You know, because look what you put your kids through, look what you put yourself through. And yet they always come back when I've worked with them and said, but he said he was sorry. He said he wouldn't do it again. And they believed it. And so I think that goes back kind of to that nurturing place that a lot of women come from, is we want to believe, we want to accept the apology. And so that's tough. Yeah. That's tough for a lot of women to put that in a...
So I'm going to be really tough here.
Okay.
Okay. This is not going to be friendly.
Okay.
That's not nurturing. That's self-deception.
It is, but they may, you know, believe that they, in the same way that they're nurturing to their child, they may have that same...
Even with the child, that's
self-deception. Deception. Yeah.
Okay. If your child doesn't do what you've asked them the second time, mm-hmm. you have an issue here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a different discussion.
Right.
Now.
Right.
All right? And that's going to be longer than it would take for this show.
Right.
All right? In relationship, different than with a child, relationship you can leave. Child, we want to change the behavior.
Right.
All right? And there are ways to change the behavior. There's ways, you know, persuasion and influence.
Mm-hmm.
All right? There's things we can do in that space.
Mm-hmm. But I totally agree on that list of do not accept.
Right.
That would have to be high on the list, that we do not emotionally abuse, physically abuse, or mentally abuse. And I, you know, even people that haven't been physically abused, I can name probably 50 individuals that I work with where the emotional and the mental was constant, just beating them down.
Yeah.
And they didn't recognize it. And maybe they didn't recognize it because they came from a family where they witnessed it. Dad did it to mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they thought, mm-hmm. well, this is just the way it is.
And that's kind of where I was going to head for a moment here.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you can realize about the person who's doing abuse,
mm-hmm.
so if you're that person, okay, realize that that behavior comes out of trauma,
mm-hmm.
all right? So I'm going to flip it. Let's make it not you. Let's say, so I worked with one woman who was abused by her mother.
Okay.
And still was being, even as an adult, was being abused verbally by her mother.
Yeah, so that manipulation
right.
that goes on.
And this, of course, was causing her a lot of grief.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, let's take a look at this. What do you know about your mother's childhood? Oh, well, she was abused by her mother and by her father.
Right.
Oh, and what else? Oh, and this terrible thing happened to my mother, and that terrible thing happened to my mother. I go, oh, wow. Well, can you be compassionate? Can you see how that childhood led to the person she is today? Yeah, I can see that. Well, can you be compassionate for that little girl? Okay, yes, I can. Can you be compassionate for your mother now? Mm-hmm. Yes, I can. Oh my God, where'd the pain go?
Right.
I'm just feeling compassion for her now. All that pain that she gave me, that's gone.
Sometimes
I went through that quicker, okay,
right,
but I do that with a
right.
person over more time. Okay?
Right, right.
And it does work. The pain goes away. It
goes away. I'm thinking of two situations, and again, you may have had similar situations with people you've worked with, but I'm thinking of two. And in both cases, they ended a pregnancy because they did not want to be like their mother. And they were terrified that they would. So I ended up seeing them after the abortion, only because, you know, they were devastated by what they'd done
right.
in aborting a fetus. And they still suffer today from it, because they mark that on their calendar of, oh, my child would have been 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old.
Reinforcing the negative.
Exactly. But, you know, and the mother in both of these cases was still alive and was still exhibiting the same kind of vindictive, emotionally abusive kind of relationship with that child. So sometimes I think it is very hard for them to get over it just because the person is still alive and they're still experiencing it.
Well,
they have to end that relationship.
Absolutely, they have to end that relationship. Yeah. There's another principle that says environment is stronger than willpower.
Mm-hmm.
So if that person has caused you emotional pain, and you feel that pain, and you want to get past that pain, you want to get rid of that pain, mm-hmm. you need to change the environment.
Right.
If you're talking to that other person every single day, you're not going to get rid of your pain.
Or in a case where the child is still living at home because they can't get rid of it.
Well, at what age?
Yeah. But then by the time, hopefully, you're seeing them, so you're building that resilience within them, so that by the time they're ready either to go off to college or to get a job and move out, you know, they can begin doing more of the repair work because they're not receiving those kinds of emotions on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I mean, I've had to work with whole families, and I'm sure you have too.
Mm-hmm.
And the family, the adult members of the family, be it mom, dad, or single, you know, they don't get it. They don't get what they're doing.
And that's because they've got more years of negative beliefs built up.
Yes, and we go back to the belief system again.
Absolutely. It all begins with there. Yeah. Everything begins with beliefs.
Yeah.
And the longer we live, unless we're doing things to eliminate negative beliefs, all mm-hmm. right, the longer we live, the more reinforced our negative beliefs become, our disempowering beliefs become.
What about beliefs that, you know, we're in a political climate today, we're in, you know, there's so much hate, distrust, everything else that's going on that social media, television is giving to us. How are those beliefs, you know, permeating our basic thought process that we have on a daily basis?
You can decide what you will listen to.
Exactly.
All right. So
turn off the TV.
I use the TV. I happen to get my television over the internet,
mm-hmm.
so I don't have to deal with the news or anything like that, and I can watch shows that I find entertaining for
mm-hmm.
me.
Right.
Same with the radio. I only listen to stations that I find entertaining for me.
So what would happen if somebody is listening to a lot of negativity on, since you understand the physical so well too, so you've got this bombardment of constant negativity, what is that doing to the person, because they're accepting a belief maybe that's coming in, what is it doing to them physically?
I'm going to answer that in 1 second. I'm going to give an analogy first.
Okay.
Please think of a white light bulb.
Okay.
And as you're thinking about this bright white light bulb, what we're going to do is we're going to start throwing dirt at the light bulb. All right?
So we are the white light bulb.
We are the light... Well, we could be the
we
white
could be.
Light bulb.
Yeah.
Okay? And our spirit is the white light bulb.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And we're throwing dirt at this light bulb. And beginning after a while, the dirt begins to pile up around the light bulb. And when it's really thin around the bulb, you might still get some light out. But as it gets thicker and thicker around the light bulb, you're not going to get any light out at all.
Yeah.
All right? And pretty soon, the bulb effectively has no light.
Right.
Right? Well, that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. And everything you asked about physical, every physical ailment begins in the mind.
Right.
Every physical pain, every physical disease begins in the mind. So, yeah, if all of a sudden now you're diagnosed with a terminal disease, that began 20 years ago. In your mind.
And it might have begun with as simple as saying...
any negative emotion.
Yeah.
Any negative emotion.
I'm angry at life for doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you hold on to that anger, I always have believed that it goes to your weakest link. So yes. Our bodies are not quite the same from top to bottom. So we all have a weak or maybe several weak links.
Mm-hmm.
But wherever the weakest link is where the negative belief is going to attack and create then inflammation and disease.
At first. And then it'll spread from there.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, and then there are specific emotions tied to specific parts of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I mean, I spent over 50 years of my life pissed off. That resulted in urinary problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
They are related.
Right.
Grief.
Right.
Takes hold in the, I was going to say lungs. Grief mm-hmm. is in the lungs.
Okay. I've always heard the heart, but they're kind of there together.
Yeah, they're together.
Because people that wear their heart on their sleeve, so to speak, uh-huh. that whole concept.
Uh-huh. And I can't think of a different emotion for the heart, so I will put them together, sure.
Mm-hmm. A lot of thyroid issues are in the throat.
Yes, yes. Stomach, I'm trying to remember what that was. A feeling of being stuck mm-hmm. is constipation.
Exactly. And there is Louise Hay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she wrote a number of books that were on healing your life by understanding your emotions, because if you didn't understand your emotions, it would show up someplace in your body.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to go to Amazon and just look up the name Louise Hay, she's deceased now, but her books are still very valuable.
Oh, God, yes.
All right, so moving, I guess, along here. So looking at that statement again, why don't you say it one more time for everybody?
Sure. Speak your truth
okay.
with compassion, with no expectation. And we didn't delve fully into the last part.
So why don't we do that for the last few minutes and understand what we mean by expectation? Because I think a lot of people do make a statement, and then, you know, going back to the child, you say, okay, you cannot do whatever it is. There seems to be acknowledgement, but then they repeat doing what you've already said you can't do. So the expectation here is going to be that when I say something, you're going to hear me. And maybe either do or not do that again. And if I don't have the expectation and they breach, you know, whatever it was that you've agreed upon, then the expectation is, well, okay, I guess it's not that important to you. Is that kind of what you're saying? Or
A little bit more than that. And we have to separate children from adults here, okay?
Okay.
Children are a special case, mm-hmm. one because, you know, you're legally obligated to them.
Yes, you are.
You're living with them.
Right.
And they're in, you know, children's minds are not the same as an adult mind.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the one of the really cool things that I've looked at recently is a child's mind is in the same thing as a dream state to age 12.
So it's really important to watch what you're putting in those dreams.
Oh, totally. But let's come back and talk about expectation with regards to relationships. And uh-huh. so we're dealing with adults or at least teenagers, you know, if you're at the teenage level.
Right.
All right. Expectations are the source of all emotional pain. If you have no expectation, you cannot be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be taken advantage of if you have no expectation.
Right.
When you live from this sentence, you cannot be hurt, you cannot be taken advantage of, nobody can abuse you, none of that, because you're speaking your truth, that you're preventing that, you're preventing from ever happening. When you enter into a situation, so again, we're going to focus on women, he calls you up, let's go out on a date, okay, you're going to go out on this date, you're going to meet him where, you know, somewhere, do you have a bunch of expectations about how this is going to play out, about how he's going to be, about what you want? Drop all that.
And just go.
Be open to possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know what you want. You have your want list,
mm-hmm.
right? You have your intention. That's what you would like to have come out of the evening. In fact, play a scenario of how you want the entire evening to go and then let go of the scenario.
Mm-hmm. It's like the list that you put in a special place and know the universe is going to bring it to you.
That's right.
Okay.
When you play out how the date's going to go,
mm-hmm.
you're creating a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then let it go so that you're not holding on to it as an expectation.
And then you're not disappointed if it doesn't go that way.
Precisely. And then be amazed and celebrate those pieces, because mm-hmm. you're not going to get all of it, mm-hmm. all right? But those pieces that go perfectly the way you wanted them to go. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the other pieces that didn't and evaluate, what are those? How do they align with what you like and what you want mm-hmm. or not?
Right.
It's when you hold on to something, when you say it needs to be this way, he has to behave this way. Mm-hmm. It's that holding on to that causes you emotional pain.
Right, right. Because the other person doesn't even know.
They don't even know. That's right.
Yeah, they have not a clue. So
when you let them know, mm-hmm. back to speak your truth, mm-hmm. well then oftentimes they'll happily give you what you want.
Right, because they can't read your mind.
Right.
Exactly. So all of these little pieces seem to, again, like the show, I always say that, you know, this is a show about spirituality. It's about, you know, your mental abilities, if you will, to learn new things. It's about emotions and it's about the physical. But we braid them together. Mm-hmm. And life is like that. We're not just one strand.
Right. Now, life is completely interconnected. Right. Every aspect of your life is related to another aspect of your life.
Of your life, right. And that's from beginning to end, pretty much.
Absolutely. And you can change any of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You sure can. That is so, so true. I have been thinking a lot, you know, about the people that I used to see in Wisconsin and just sort of wondering, you know, how some of them are doing today because of the things that, you know, we discussed and we talked about. And it's fun when you look back and you know that somebody's life, maybe you tweaked it just a little bit to give them another set of tools, and then wondering if they applied those tools, you know, throughout their life. But very fun things. So the next show we do together, do you want to approach the medical aspects and kind of look at how people can be healthier by thinking differently? Again, holding on to the beliefs that, we can sort of segue into this, but the beliefs that people hold about their doctors that they learned early on in life from their parents, from their grandparents, and recognizing that in today's holistic society mm-hmm. and taking more responsibility for our own health.
Absolutely.
You might be able to actually join your physician in keeping you healthy rather than waiting for your physician to make you healthy.
That, and you may even choose to go a different path altogether. I talk about in a speech that I do, how to stay well without doctors, drugs, and surgery. Actually, I've changed the name of that so many times. But anyway, there's a speech that I give where I talk about four dimensions mm-hmm. of human health in the holistic world and practitioners in each dimension. And I assert that in order to stay well, you want to have a practitioner in two of the four dimensions.
And what are the four dimensions?
The body chemical.
Okay.
Which is anything that goes into an orifice of your body, including the pores of your skin.
Okay.
All right, so that's the body chemical, which could be natural earth-grown things.
Sure.
A chemical is not necessarily made in a chemistry lab.
Right, so okay. Coconut oil.
Coconut oil rubbed on your skin is the body chemical,
right.
For sure.
Right,
The next one is the body mechanical.
Okay.
And this deals with the bones, structures, ligaments, everything that deals with structure of your body, joints, okay. The next one is the body the body electrical.
Mm-hmm.
This is the nervous system and the electrical, the fact that our skin conducts electricity, all right, mm-hmm. the electrical systems of the body,
mm-hmm.
all right, and how to holistically deal with that. And the last one and the most powerful, and all the first three are this one,
mm-hmm.
and that is the body energetic.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and this is dealing with the body at the energy level.
Right.
And this could be the a PEMF machine, pulse electromagnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
This could be Reiki
mm-hmm.
or theta healing.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of these are very useful for health. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's necessary to have two in our lives all the time, one of which should be the body chemical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the body chemical and one other.
Right.
All right.
Right. Certainly that PEMF is quite amazing.
Oh, I love the PEMF.
Because that just, I mean, if you understand that on a capillary level, as we age, you know, there is less and less circulation going on there. And with something like that, in fact, a gentleman that I just met, he has to do with traumatic brain injury. And that's a machine that is being used extensively now to help heal that. Well, Paul, thank you so much. I can't believe this hour just always flies. And I know you'll be back in about a month and a half or so. And we'll talk about, you know, those four areas of the body. And anybody who missed the live show, please send them to synergyconnectionradio.com. It will be up later this afternoon as a podcast. And certainly you can listen to it multiple times to learn from Paul and his wealth of information. So thank you again. To share real quickly where they can find you.
Sure. The website, my website is I deserve a perfect life. And yes, you do. So ideserveaperfectlife.com. You could also find me on Instagram at ideserveaperfectlife and Facebook. There's a Facebook page by the same name.
All right. Well, everybody go out there and truly make this your best life. Thank you very much.